Welcome to Matters of the Heart podcast with Rashonda, Sunday Thoughts episode edition. Sunday Thoughts are stories I've experienced in life, and I relate those stories to God's Word in a way where you can understand. It's never about preaching, but a discovery in trying to find God's voice and pick up a few lessons to be learned in our daily lives. This Sunday, let's take time to reflect and think about those experiences. God's messages are often hidden in plain sight in everything that happens to us, whether good or bad. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Sunday's Thought episode. This is the Matters of the Heart podcast. I talk about inspiration, motivation, wellness, and mind peacefulness here. I share experiences, advice, and knowledge to help you and myself improve our life and learn more. The content is always 100% positive, and your cheerful host on this beautiful journey is me, Rashonda. Welcome again. If this is your first time, second, or 16th time listening to the podcast, thank you so much. I'm glad you're here and took the time to stop by and sit a while with me. I truly appreciate your time, and I hope everyone had a fantastic Easter holiday, reflecting on Jesus and his journey to the cross, from the grave, and his rising again. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. I hope you got in some much needed time with your close family and friends. We have to make the most of everything, right? Yes, we do. So today's topic is, you trust God with a little, but what about a lot? You trust God with a little, but what about a lot? Isn't it easy to trust God and give him a little when you have a little? This means it's easy for me to give God tithes and offerings, and most of us put a cap on what we offer. Again, we may give no more than $50 to a cause or someone or etc., and we think that's good. But what if God blessed you with $10,000 and asked you to give it all to him? Would you do it? There's a lot more. Of course, I have a story behind this and some Sunday thoughts that will take us back to the Bible and to visit someone who was asked to give up something very precious. So stay tuned. Welcome back. So let's get right into it. About 9 or 10 years ago, I envisioned myself opening a mailbox and receiving a $10,000 check. Upon receiving the check, before I could think of doing anything with it, I heard a voice telling me to give it all up. And I saw myself signing it over to a church I was attending. Now, I will say, before you get to the point of giving it all away, some things lead up to that moment. Maybe God has been leading you to give up your whole check or take half of your income taxes and give it away to a particular charity, organization, or your own church. In 2004, God pulled on my heart to do the exact same thing that year. I remember listening to a famous preacher on a TV at that time, and they were talking about first fruits. I didn't know what that meant or what it was at the time, but they explained that it was giving God some portion of your first paycheck or your increase of the year. I don't know what it was, but I felt compelled to give away my first check when I got it that year. I didn't have a church home at the time. I was married and hadn't yet had any children. I had just moved to my husband's city where he grew up at the time. And during that time, we were only married for like about 5 months. And I didn't talk to him about it. I didn't talk to him about giving up that check because he wasn't spiritual at the time and wouldn't have understood the feeling that I was experiencing. Now, let me stop right there. even though I was married and we had been married for like 5 months, I still had this single ladies mentality where I felt like, okay, what I bring into this house is what I bring in. What you bring in is what you bring in and all this other type of stuff. But truth be told, we were married, and when you get married, you become one with somebody. So that means that your money is no longer just your money. Okay, their money is no longer just their money. So if you guys are one, so that means that your money, both of your money, is combined. That means it's both of y'all's money. Unless you guys talk about having like separate accounts. I feel like couples shouldn't have separate accounts and the other couple don't know about it. I feel like, you know, you guys should talk about having separate accounts or whatever. I mean, as a married couple, you should talk about things because you're married. So, you know, talk about your thoughts and stuff. But I didn't feel comfortable with doing that with my ex-husband. Like I knew he wasn't a spiritual person. And because I knew that, I was like, he ain't gonna understand what I'm talking about, wanting to give up. If anything, he was gonna become combative to me wanting to do this. And then I would feel discouraged. And then I'm like, well, God, I feel like you told me to do it and whatever. I'm telling you, listen, if you're single, this is the reason why you need to talk to God about who you about to marry. You need to make sure that you guys are on the same wavelength, okay? Not just intimately, but spiritually, physically, emotionally, that, you know, some things are being checked off. Because if, you know, they thinking one thing about the finances and you thinking a totally different thing, then that's a problem. Okay, so these are things, are conversations that you need to have in the dating stages. But these are conversations that I did not have with him in the dating stages. I didn't know to have with him in the dating stages. And so I'm just like, he ain't spiritual. He ain't gonna understand anyway. I'm gonna do what I want to do. So when I got my first check, I took out my tithes and offerings, and I gave up the rest as a sacrificial offering. I sent the money to my mom's church in North Carolina, and that was it. I felt good after doing it, but I wouldn't have expected or imagined what happened next. But I'll save that until the end. Let me tell you about someone else in the Bible who was asked to give up something so precious to their heart. Genesis chapter 22, it talks about Abraham and his son Isaac, and how God had asked Abraham to get up and go and sacrifice his promised son. The son he and Sarah was told by God that they would have. However, because it took so long, Abraham and Sarah had concocted their own plan by having Abraham sleep with Sarah's maid Hagar, who ended up getting pregnant. Still, that baby was not the blessed nor promised child God referred to. We must remember that God isn't a God of disorder. He's not going to tell you to go and sleep with another person to get his plan done. That's dysfunctional, out of order, and is not how God operates. It's easy to trust God regarding a small thing, but can or will we still trust God when he takes us beyond our comfort zone of giving? When he asks us to do something outside of what we usually do. Abraham had trusted God many times before until his faith withered and Hagar and his son Ishmael happened. So trusting God this time had to be very important for him. After all, God was silent for 13 years as they raised Ishmael. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Here, Abraham is at 100 plus years old, and God still wants to use him, even after the mistake. So this is a little lesson for you. There's nothing so wrong that you can do that God will ever say, I don't want to use you anymore. When we get back in line with being obedient, you'll find that God still wants to use you anyway. So when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his only son, he's trusting God and holding on to his every word this time. Have you ever felt like you disappointed someone or lost trust with someone before? And when you got another chance to do things the right way, you gave it all you had. And I can imagine that this was Abraham's feeling. And this time he wanted to trust God with everything, every fiber of his being. He knew the mistake he made left God silent. I don't know what those 13 years were like without hearing God's voice, but I'm sure when he heard it again, the fact that God kept his promise despite his disobedience, Abraham was all in. Believed in God. So even though God had asked Abraham to do this unthinkable task, you know, but he believed in God so much that in Genesis chapter 22 verse 5, he told the men traveling with him and Isaac that he and Isaac would go up, but they would be back. That they would go up. Now God had told him, I need you to go and I need you to sacrifice your son. So, and Abraham's trust was like, look, God, I believe in God so much. I don't even believe that God, I know God is a provider. I know God gonna do something. I'm sure he didn't know what was going on or what God would do. He just trusted. But he trusted enough to know that, hey, me and Isaac may be going up, but we both are coming back. Even when Isaac asked about the sheep for the sacrifice, because Isaac looking around like, okay, you saying we going to sacrifice, you know, an animal, but I don't see you with no sheep. I see you, you know, getting wood and stuff, but where's the sacrifice? Like, okay, what's going on here? But even at that, his father, you know, Abraham kept his faith strong. God will provide the sheep, he insisted. There will come a time in our life when our faith will be tested beyond what we've done or believed before. And that testing can and will take you to the brink. Abraham's flesh may have wanted him to doubt this situation, and even God at this moment, as he traveled on up to the mountain and still hadn't heard God say anything. However, his spiritual man had to push past those negative thoughts because Abraham knew God. So if you received a check for $20,000, in your mind, you got good plans for that check. Pay off some bills, put some money up for the kids, get a new car, clothes, etc. But what if God told you to give it all to him? All of it. You don't keep a cent for yourself. Now remember, you got bills due. This check seemed like a blessing from God. So why would he ask you to give it away? I mean, you had planned to provide the church with $1,000, right? Like, isn't that enough? In times like these, you'll see, and so will God, where our faith truly lies. When God pushes us past our $100 to $500 giving comfort zone, it shows where your heart truly is. Will you fail or pass the test? Because God will ask you to do things past your comfort zone. And if he hasn't yet, well, as my great-grandmother used to say, keep on living, baby. Who will you ultimately trust, God or mammon? Abraham, even in one of the most significant tests of his life, trusted God as the Williams brothers penned to deliver on time. It's essential that when our faith is tested beyond our standard testing, we keep an attitude of humility. People tend to get a little cranky when they must do something they don't want to do. It's easy to allow our emotions to run wild. Then that's when we tend to tell everyone what God wants us to do. And of course, people, depending on their belief, will talk you out of being obedient and your blessing. Abraham remained faithful to God even to the end. If God hadn't stopped him, he would have killed Isaac because he loved, trusted, and obeyed God even during the most challenging test. God not only delivered Isaac from being a sacrifice, but he also provided a replacement, which was a ram, and swore by his name that he would bless Abraham beyond measure and his descendants would be blessed beyond numbers, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And through his descendants, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. All because Abraham obeyed God. Are you or have you stunted your blessing because of disobedience? When we dishonor or disobey God, we're cursing ourselves and those attached to us. When I felt the presence of God to give up my whole check, I had no idea why I was doing it, but I did it anyway. About a couple of months after I did that, I found out I was pregnant with my first child. Everything was good in the beginning until I got to 27 weeks and started having complications with the pregnancy. I went into premature labor and had her at 28 weeks. She struggled severely, and I thought she was going to die. She had to have surgery 3 days after she was born. I had never seen anyone so small. She was as small as a beanie baby and had had surgery. God blessed her life and spared her. She had a year of development issues, but I kept my faith in God. Maybe that check I gave up was for the daughter I didn't know I would be having, and her complex recovery process. I'll never know, but all I know is that I was obedient. Your obedience to one thing can just be the water someone needs months or even years down the road or even generations to come, all because you obeyed. All because you said yes during the pain, struggle, or uncertainty. Abraham's yes made us blessed as we are his descendants. You're blessed today because someone said yes many, many years ago. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 25 through 26, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. 26, and what do you benefit from gaining the whole world but losing your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Don't hang on to this life because this life is going to pass away. At the end of the day, God has the last say over everything, including your life. So give God your yes, secure your faith in him. He didn't do it before, and he's undoubtedly not going to do it now. He's not going to let you down. When you feel like your faith is pushing you beyond your usual borders, think about Abraham and Isaac and know that Yahweh Yireh, that's what Abraham named the place God spared Isaac's life. This means the Lord will provide. So whether God asks you to give away a little or a whole lot or do something unusual or unpopular, if he asks you to do it, you must trust that he has a method and or an action plan. Just trust that he's behind the curtains of life and can see what happens and what goes on more than we can ever see. Well, that was it for this Sunday's thought. Listen, if you have something you'd like me to discuss, or if you have a first Sunday thought question, or even a Thursday tip suggestion, let me know. Email me at inspirationswithroshonda @gmail.com. I don't profess to know everything. Still, with the Lord's help, I answer as He sees fit. Listen, I have a new tip. As we get closer and closer to spring ending and summer beginning, many people will be taking vacations. However, quite a few people don't take any because maybe their work won't allow them to, or they come back to mounds of work. We're going to talk about it, and I'm going to give you a couple of tips that I use for taking vacations in a demanding job. Now, this won't work for everyone, but the idea is to give you some suggestions. I've been there, so stay tuned to the second Thursday of this month. Also, happy early Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, whether you birthed them or not. Maybe Mother's Day is not so great. This is the first time that most will be celebrating without one. I'm 6 years in on that myself. Or maybe you're a mother and you lost a child. My heart and prayers are with you, and I pray God gives you strength and you experience His peace as He wraps you in His unfailing love on that day. And shout out to all the fur baby parents, okay? Maybe you're a mom to a precious animal. Listen, you deserve to be celebrated as well. So that's all the time I have. Be blessed, and I'll talk to you again soon. That was it for today's episode. I hope you were inspired and feel positive vibes whenever you spend some time with me, Rashonda, and the Matters of the Heart podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and don't forget to join me next time as we dive deeper into our spiritual, mental, and physical journey. You can follow Matters of the Heart podcast on Facebook to stay tuned for what's coming next. Feel free to share the episodes while you're here. Also, stay with me by subscribing wherever your favorite music and podcast stations reside. And as always, watch your heart, because its actions will follow. Thank you for listening.